Hey, what is up? This is the Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. NJ in London, Ontario. Mike Augello in Buffalo, New York. The Maple Leafs lead their first round Stanley Cup series with the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 after an exhilarating 4-3 win in overtime at Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay. Mike, what can you say about this game that hasn't been said over and over over the past 12 hours? What an incredible game, not necessarily because it was played so well, but the way things unfolded. The lesson last night, hang in there, throw the puck on net, potentially good things can happen. And in the Leafs' case, it did, not once, but twice, and they lead the series. Good morning.
Good morning, Norm. Well, the lesson that we can learn, and I don't know if this has not been said by someone over the last 12 hours, but when you're not the better of the two teams, you can still win the game. And I think after the Brandon Hagel goal late in the first period, the Leafs were the lesser of the two teams for the remainder of the game, including overtime. I mean, they got the tying goal, Ryan O'Reilly with a minute left, and then Tampa dominated overtime. And only when the Leafs got a few opportunities late in the period and then a Morgan Rielly drifts a shot under the crossbar, you know, you don't have to be the better of the two teams to win, but it helps. And even though the Leafs are up 2-1 in the series, they still have a lot of challenges. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody in Leafs Nation, everybody in Maple Leaf Square, everybody watching that game last night are happy that the Leafs came out on the winning end. But when it comes down to having any kind of confidence in their ability to finish this off, no, this is going to be a battle. This is a grizzled, physical, dirty, mean team, and they're going to get dragged down kicking and screaming. So the Leafs are going to have to be prepared to drag them out kicking and screaming, and we'll see if they can do it.
This is the Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Vehicles are flying off the shelves. I'm not just saying that. This is a harvesting season if you're in car sales. It is mid-April through the next few months. People are looking to buy cars. Interest rates be damned. So our used inventory is dwindling, and it's because, again, people are buying. And our new inventory, we have quite a few cars, but not a lot of the vehicles that people are looking for. If you are interested in, say, like a Ford Escape or an Explorer, a Bronco Sport, a Bronco, reach out to me. You know how to find me, theleafscombo@gmail.com. I'm all over social media too, especially my Instagram page. I do have people reaching out to me on a daily basis to talk hockey and talk cars. Let me know how I can help you. Who knows? One day you're listening to us talk about the Leafs. Next day, I'm handing you keys to a Mach-E or a Mustang or an F-150. That's what I'd love to be able to do, not just so I can sell you a car, but I can bring you in as part of the greater family beyond this podcast. Shots on goal last night. So Tampa, 13-8 in the first period, 15-8 in the second period. The Leafs outshoot Tampa in the third, 9 shots collectively. That period really was something, because all Tampa had to do was just keep on doing what it was doing. And with 45 seconds left in the period, you throw a puck in front of the net, and Ryan O'Reilly puts it under Vasilevsky's arm. Nice little play from William Nylander too, coming out from outside of the goal line, giving himself a bit of a lane to pass, and Mitch Marner orchestrating some things there too. Tampa outshooting the Leafs 8-5 in the overtime frame. And again, we were waiting just for this one to end and Tampa getting a series lead. And then in overtime, we were just waiting for Tampa to somehow bury it. Darren Radish had the game on his stick and couldn't put it away. It's funny how things turn out, Mike. Appearances can be deceiving.
Well, yeah. I mean, first, Darren Radish having the game on his stick, and Darren Radish being the guy who scored the potential overtime goal is hilarious because he's probably the worst defenseman on that team. Now, not to say he's not a, you know, he's not an, I think he's a borderline NHL, or he's not a very good player. You know, he's an okay player, but they have him playing with Hedman or Sergachev. And it's like the usual Tampa thing where they have a defenseman who's sort of wanting playing with one of their stars and they can get away with it. But, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. The Leafs got outplayed for the majority of this game. You know, they came out strong. Achari gets the opening goal. And invariably, as they always seem to do this year, they give up a quick one right after they score. And it's just a momentum killer. It's like dropping a rock in a pond. It breaks the waves. And it's like, I mean, you know, they didn't have a chance to build up any kind of momentum. And then, you know, a few later in the period, Matthews finally gets on the scoreboard after tipping a Marner shot. And the Hagel goal was the ultimate in deflating because Darren Pang said this, Butch Goring said this on the TBS broadcast, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. In the first period, Samsonov looked very shaky. The Hagel goal was sort of symptomatic of that. He let it bleed through him. And it went over the line before the whistle went, or right at the whistle. And that was a killer. I mean, 30 seconds left to go, or late in the first period, giving up a goal like that just is a momentum killer. And Tampa dominated the middle frame. Now, the third period, and I want to read this because Sheldon Keefe said this after the game, and maybe we can talk about it for a few minutes, but the Riley check on Braden Point, it was not dirty. Braden Point was going into the corner.
We know that.
Yeah, he was not dirty. He did not shove him head first into the boards. The immediate reaction of Tampa Bay was, you saw the guy going in like that, and any team would react thinking that the player had been sewered by Riley. The replay was out there on the biggest scoreboard in the NHL, and they all saw that Riley didn't do anything to Point. But that did not stop Tampa Bay from doing their Mau Mau act with Kucherov. I don't know if it was breaking Riley's nose or just he was bleeding the entire rest of the game. He had to have his nose plugged. And Steven Stamkos getting at Austin Matthews.
Surprised, Mike? You sound surprised and disappointed. Like, this is all part of the process.
No, I'm not surprised.
I'm not, man.
I'm not surprised. I'm not disappointed. It's expected.
Right.
But I like what Sheldon Keefe said and what he did after the game. And I'll just read the quote. It's a couple paragraphs long. The fight itself, meaning Stamkos and Matthews, that's a classic example of a veteran championship team like Tampa Bay manipulating the officials and taking advantage of a situation, right? I mean, they know that they were basically already going on the power play because of the Kucherov situation. So it's a free for all because Kucherov attacked Riley. And honestly, it should have been maybe a third man in, but there wasn't a original fight. So they couldn't call that. They can do whatever they want. And they just know that the way the games get called, they're not going to get another penalty. I mean, you watch that sequence back and say that we shouldn't get a 5-on-3. The officials literally holding Steven Stamkos with one arm and his other hand with no glove is punching Austin Matthews, not the linesman. The referee who calls the penalty was holding Stamkos while this was happening. Credit to Tampa for recognizing that situation. It's a free pass to do what they want. Now, this is the point. Austin Matthews was picking up sticks. He was picking up sticks, cleaning up, and Stamkos saw the opportunity. And Stamkos is not a goon, but Stamkos saw the opportunity and said, okay, you know why? And nobody will say this. No, Stamkos won't say this. What's Austin Matthews' big problem over the last couple of years? His wrist. You want him to get into a fight? You want him to get into a fight with Steven Stamkos and hurt his wrist? That was the motivation. Kucherov jumping.
Think that went through Stamkos' mind right there and then.
Yeah, no, this is a smart team. This is a smart hockey team. This is a smart, Corey Perry is not doing this, not doing the stuff that he does because he's a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. He does it because he's smart. and he sewers people, and he does. And what I'm saying is the Leafs have to be prepared for this. And the best thing that happened last night, the best thing was when all this stuff was going on, when they were at the in between the benches, you had Hagel and Maroon and I think Perry mouthing off at the Leaf bench. The guy that was standing there and acting as the sheriff was Luke Shen, and Janot was the other one. Was Luke Shen. And essentially, I can only imagine what he said, but essentially probably what he said is, okay, you want to go up, my guys? Come through me. And we didn't see much after that because Luke Shen is a force in terms of being physical and in terms of a fighter. You know, Janot fought him. It was about an even draw. You know, do you think Maroon or do you think Perry, do you think any of those guys wants to fight Luke Shen? No, because Luke Shen's a sixth defenseman and, you know, some of those guys are higher up in the Tampa lineup. That's the whole point here. You needed that guy. And this team has needed that guy right. for years and years and years. And finally, they got him.
Well, they need that guy and others. This is The Convo, Norm along with Mike. Like the content, subscribe to the channel if you're listening on podcasts. Thanks for doing that. But come on over to youtube.com/TheLeafsConvo. Lots of activity always happening on the platform. Jason T, Leafs should have been targeting Hedman for hits. The Leafs aren't that kind of team, and it would take them a little bit out of their game. Now they're going after guys. They're defending themselves. They're trying to encase Auston Matthews in some kind of human bubble wrap. There's just too much going on. I don't know if the Leafs can handle it to that extent. I don't know if being the aggressor is the way to do things. Subtly, you know, that's what a guy like Michael Bunting or might try to accomplish, or a Jake McCabe or, like a Sam Lafferty. It's just subtly. And maybe this kind of thing is going on behind the scenes, behind the play. And, you know, you can slowly try to erode Hedman's ability to do things just kind of by being there. However, the Leafs have their hands full taking on the onslaught of the Lightning. I said last night, look, Tampa's trying to lure the Leafs into a place where they can take advantage of them. I think the Leafs should just take the bait and go for it. You're going to have to do it at some point anyway. There's no way the Leafs can dance around the way that Tampa wants to play, the aggression, the madness, the tricks, the theatrics, the escapades, and win the series. It's, you cannot play on the periphery and the perimeter and win this series. You're going to have to go into the trenches with them. And it's at some point, the opposition will emerge before Tampa does. Maybe it's this time. Last night was a great example of the Leafs getting things done the way they had to get things done, despite not having their best game. And not to be overly generic, Mike, they lead the series. They lead the series with a chance to go up 3-1 in Tampa tomorrow night.
Well, I mean, the Leafs, yeah, I mean, it's not in their nature to target players. But, yeah, you can lay a body on Hedman, and they did a couple times. Not, you know, it wasn't overly noticeable, but they did do that. You know, they did, you know, obviously the Riley hit on point left the ice, and then he came back and he was fine. I mean, Matthews hit Cirelli at the end of game two. So, you know, they're picking their spots, but they really don't have many weapons in terms of guys who, you know, you have Achari, you have Zach Aston-Reese, who's a heavy player, if you have a few others, but essentially they're going to be on the receiving end of most of the abuse. And I think one of the things that Keith was essentially saying here is, you know, okay, we're on the receiving end here. Not to say we need every penalty called, but, you know, when this team starts to do their stuff, they need to be held accountable. You know, the Leafs, you know, they get a 3-game suspension for a bad hit. You know, they at one point, Riley was called for the 5-minute boarding penalty, and then, you know, they reviewed it, and it was actually a smart move by the officials. I think they called the boarding call on purpose so they could review it, and then they reviewed it and called it, knocked it down to eliminated that penalty, but I think he got a 2-minute roughing penalty. So, you know, but I think that Keefe was right to sort of play to the officials in terms of Tampa's getting away with this crap, and they need to be held accountable. And if you're not going to hold them accountable, then, you know, maybe you have to put Wayne Simmonds in the lineup and you have to go after somebody. And if they want this series to devolve into a friggin' Pier 6 brawl, then okay. But I don't think the league wants that. And, you know, they have to have Tampa sort of held accountable to what they do.
So you're telling me that Sheldon Keefe's going to complain about the officials post game, and the officials are all going to huddle and go, you know, how can we configure this series to
a little bit helps.
I think, Mike, this is what all head coaches do.
Every little
what all bit head helps. Coaches do complain about the officials. The officiating has been extremely inconsistent in these Stanley Cup playoffs. I go to work and I've got Edmonton fans, Boston fans, Islanders fans, Flyers fans who don't have any skin in the game but are watching. They're all complaining about the officials. You're complaining about the officials. OG's Converse complaining about the officials. Man, put yourself in a position where the officials aren't going to dictate how things go.
Well,
right?
I mean, when the stakes are high, you know, mistakes and calls are the thing that determine winning or losing. I mean, look at the Vegas-Winnipeg game last night. Winnipeg comes back from 4-1 down to tie the game in the third period, and in double overtime, Dylan Sandberg puts the puck off of a skate and it goes right in the slot, and Vegas wins. The series turns on basically a mistake. That happens all the time. And it also happens where a penalty is called, and that determines the outcome of the game. So, you know, I mean, I think Sheldon Keefe is right and smart to play, not play the victim card, but say, okay, how about a little bit of reciprocation here? I mean, there's no lose in that situation. And I tell you, like, for all the critics of Sheldon Keefe sort of being stoic, in games one and two, he lost his mind in game three during that whole situation in the third period, and he was right to do so. You know, one of the things. Oh, gee, the Leafs are behind 3-2 in the third period, and Ryan O'Reilly and Austin Matthews are in the penalty box for 8 minutes because you have to wait until the whistle to get them out of the penalty box. You think that their top two centers in the game were valuable to have on the ice at that time? I'm sure Tampa was keeping that play going to keep those guys off the ice.
Yeah, and you know what? Tampa lost the game. Despite all of the Leafs' troubles and the complaints about the officials and the ineptitude at times, they still won the game. That's hockey. Them's the breaks, and we go on to game three. And I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but that's sports, man. The posturing will continue. You don't think John Cooper will have things to say as well, right? When things don't go your way, you're gonna voice your concerns. You're gonna let everybody know that it's not only you playing the opposition, but it's you versus the officials in a quiet, subtle way that will toe the line between getting your point across and being fined heavily by the league. This is how she goes in the playoffs. And because this challenge is such a tight one, and it's really going to come down to potentially a fluky goal or whoever has a little bit more, just a little bit more in the tank, this is all part of the process. You're going to look for every little advantage, and you're going to try to expose everything that you perceive as a disadvantage. Mike, I'm excited about it. I really am. And, you know, the goons were the goons for Tampa. Those are the guys, the rowdies, right? You're going to go into a bar and someone's coming out with missing teeth. But at the end of the day, it's still a good hockey team, right? It's still a good hockey team that the Leafs are going to have to contend with. Still a hockey team that, despite all of the other shenanigans, shut the Leafs down for like 50 minutes last night. So the Leafs, there's still a lot more meat left on that bone, a lot of other things that the team is going to have to digest between now and game four that require real attention to detail besides all of the circus, all of the circusness that's going to take place in between the real hockey. Commander Brantford, this is a game Toronto has lost in the past. Yeah. Think Montreal, where they dominate and lose. The new players they brought in, Nyes has been a breath of fresh air. And, you know, everyone's lauding the third line, O'Reilly, Achari, and Nyes. You know, we haven't talked much about Matthew Nyes. It's interesting because there's nothing really to say based on us being disappointed. He just went in and played. He picked up points. And he's just a guy that he's going from A to B. Nothing's getting in his way. Like it wasn't tentative at all. And we know he's running on adrenaline. He's come off a long season. He's just placed in a spot. He loves to play hockey. Biggest stage. Go for it. Right. Things may, he may take a step back next year and go, what the hell just happened? But as of right now, we're getting a glimpse of the future. And what we're seeing at this point is not disappointing, because he looks like he belongs. And the Leafs really, really, really could use a player like that.
Well, this it's funny, because I think the series turned when Sheldon Keefe made the move lineup wise that I've sort of been advocating since the Ryan O'Reilly deal was made, which was move O'Reilly down to third line center, have three lines, Tavares, Matthews, O'Reilly up the middle. That's a strength. Of course, John Cooper was, I always called him Sheldon Cooper. John Cooper was defensive about, going to war with Point and Cirelli and Nick Paul. I mean, fine. You won two Stanley Cups and three Stanley Cup finals with your guys. I understand, defending them. But, I mean, arguably, that is the top three group in the league right now. There is not a team that has a third line center of the quality of Ryan O'Reilly. And I have to point out, it's like, okay, look at the deadline moves and look at the contributions. I mean, McCabe steady on defense, Lafferty fourth liner, okay, fine. Ryan O'Reilly, a goal and two assists, winning faceoffs, providing that something that has been missing for this team for years. Luke Shen was the sheriff. Matthew Nyes, who, was a draft pick, obviously, comes in, fills in for Michael Bunting adequately in game two. And game three was making plays that, I mean, you would hope a 3 or 4 year veteran would make. Now, you're right in the sense that, he could regress next year, but there's nothing to indicate that this isn't what you're seeing right now isn't what they have seen for the last 2 years at Minnesota. This is a guy that made the Olympic team, that made the World Junior team, that was a finalist for the Hobie Baker. He's a unicorn for this team. He's a big, strong winger that they have not had for a long time. So the thing that I think was the most impressive was that Sheldon Keefe had enough confidence in Matthew Nyes to spot him with Marner and Matthews and to spot him with Tavares and Nylander in offensive zone draws, because Tampa really didn't have much of an answer for him. Now he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes, but the deadline moves that this team made, I mean, you have to give Kyle Dubas a lot of credit, and that's why I say I'm for them bringing back Kyle Dubas if they win or if they lose. I know if they lose, he's probably gone, but the moves that he has made have made this team significantly better and have given them a fighter's chance of beating Tampa Bay.
It's his job, Mike. It's his job. So he's, to this point, done his job. If the Leafs get through, then it's mission accomplished to an extent. But that's his job, to help this team get better and put it in an increasingly improved position to succeed. He's tried in years past in different ways. It hasn't worked. And you could either blame you could put some of the blame on the additions, but we all know where the blame or, the reward should fall ultimately on the core guys. The core guys are, I wouldn't say they're outstanding, but Mitch Marner's got like 6 assists already in the playoffs. William Nylander with a great pass last night on the equalizer in the dying seconds, making a really smart hockey play, 7 shots. Auston Matthews scored a goal and he had to go one round with Steve Stamkos. Morgan Riley was phenomenal last night, obviously getting that goal. I mean, I don't think he meant to score it, but put the puck on net and good things can happen. And of course the play on Braden Point.
Well, the one that you're, and you're probably going to mention, but the one you're forgetting, who is the arguably the best player for the Leafs in game two, was arguably the worst or second worst player in game three, which is John Tavares, who was -3. And that's the issue here, where John Cooper is purposely putting the point Kucherov line, and maybe even loading Stamkos on there at times against Tavares and Nylander. And, you know, Alex Kerfoot filling in for Bunting. I mean, when they get back for game five, and for those people who think that, you know, Bunting's not going to be back in the lineup, I'll tell you what the move likely will be, because that line with Nylander, who is not the greatest defensive player. I mean, he's been better in the last couple of years, but he is still, I think, average at best. And Tavares, who's not the fleetest of foot, is to put a Kale Yarncroke, who is a solid defensive player, on that line. If you do that, and then you reinsert Michael Bunting on the top line with Matthews and Marner, and you keep Knies with Achari and O'Reilly, then you just take out one of the fourth liners, and there you go. That's probably what the solution is going to be, and it should be. But for game four, I mean, not to blame, like, you know, Alex Kerfoot or single him out, but honestly, if the Leafs want to stop this happy horse crap that is going on, that Tampa Bay is, you know, then I think that they might want to think about putting Wayne Simmonds in the lineup. But as we know, coaches do not change winning lineups. So right, they'll probably go with the same lineup in game four, and we'll see. And yeah, Corey Parrish in the chat, Dubas and Spezza. I copied it off of Hockey Night in Canada's broadcast and tweeted it out. Dubas and Spezza reacting in the press box when they tied the game and the winning one was pretty hilarious. And there was also something online from TSN where Dubas was chatterboxing with some of the Tampa fans in the crowd, because it's like an open thing. So yeah, I mean, I like that stuff. That's sort of secondary to what's going on the ice. It really doesn't mean a whole hill of beans if the Leafs lose, but it's also entertaining after the fact that you see that, you know, I mean, he wants to keep his job here. He wants this team to win. Right. And, you know, it's like he's done everything he possibly could to get this team over the hump. And now, as I've said, it's up to the guys on the ice. Step on their neck and kill them in game four. If they go up 3-1 and they come back with a chance to win the series in Toronto on Thursday, that's what needs to happen.
Can they do it? Can they win game three? Could they win game three? Can they win game four? And we're finding out answers as we go, Mike. Kyle Dubas is a human being, and of course he'd like to maintain his spot as general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the outcome of the series will be a major indicator of what happens. But he's a human being. He's watching a hockey game. He represents the Maple Leafs as the leader of the team and a fan of hockey. Jason Spezza is there, who's been in these situations, who can, you know, is not just there as in an advisory role, but imagine sitting next to Jason Spezza at a hockey game and picking his brain about what's taking place, right? It was a nice thing to see. It really was. And you can imagine that. It's a huge relief in that moment, weighted against all of the disappointment that Kyle Dubas has had to deal with, not within the last couple of weeks or last couple of months, but just dating back. So in that moment, wonderful. The Leafs didn't play well enough on a whole to win, but they won. And them's the breaks. That's the way she goes sometimes. Just a couple of other things I wanted to throw out there. I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat ripping on TJ Brody for his play.
It was not a strong game
for I know that, but like, okay, so if you play how many games in a Stanley Cup run, how many games in a Stanley Cup run, if you went 7-7-7-7, that's 28 games. Do you think you're gonna play on point and tip top and like a complete all-star for 28 games? You're gonna have bad nights. That's why you fill out a full lineup. Some guys will show up, some guys won't. You're never going to have all of the guys playing at full peak all the time. And, you know, again, Brody It's a tough situation to have to deal with a lot of those cats. I mean, he did have six block shots, minus two, two penalty minutes. Look,
he's been the most steady of the Leaf defensemen all year. You know, they missed him terribly when he was injured, and he's been pretty rock solid. This was not a good performance. I think probably even he would admit it, but you know, conversely, I think that Justin Hall and him sort of switched bodies because Hall was steady yesterday.
But that's my point. That's my point, Mike. You're going to have guys step out of their skates and become something different. And you're going to have guys you normally rely on come up with a lackluster performance. It's all part of it. It's a collective. And just what have you collected over that time when you base it on the totality and entirety of the performance? They won the game. Right. Instead of going, well, let's replace this guy with that guy and, you know, supplant him, add someone new. Unless it's tactical and needs to be done, the lineup we saw in game three is most likely going to be the lineup we see in game four. And the Tavareses and the Brodies may shine brighter than the rest of them in game four, and the Leafs could lose. And then we'll start picking apart other types of players. Any last things you want to add here, Mike?
I think that the Leafs have to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, Tampa now down 2-1 after losing a game that they probably think they should have won. You know, John Cooper will push every button that he can to even the series. Because, yeah, you know as well as I do that Tampa is very confident that they can win another game in Toronto. So they need to win. They need to win this game, Tampa. And if you're in the mindset of Tampa, they need to win this game to even the series, to go back to Toronto and put the pressure back on Toronto in game five. And that's why I'll just reiterate what I said previously. The Leafs need to play their best game in game four to step on the neck of the Tampa Bay Lightning and kill them. It won't even be over if they do that in game four, because down, you know, you're up 3-1, but the one thing that we have doubted about this team is their ability to finish. And until they do finish, you know, a lot of people are not going to believe they can finish.
I don't think Tampa's capability will wane.
No.
In this series. Hint, hint, Wayne. It'll be the Maple Leafs who rise to the challenge. They rose to the challenge in game three in an unconventional way, expecting to change the game in the dying seconds and actually having it happen. It's the odds are against you, but it happened. The Leafs stood tall against the team that was trying to lure it into the alley. They went in, they did what they had to do, and they came out victorious. So it's the Maple Leafs that'll have to take this series. They cannot expect Tampa to just give it up. There's absolutely no way in hell that group of Lightning players with that pedigree, all of the accolades, everything they've accomplished, are going to allow are going to hand it to the Maple Leafs. So if you thought last night was rough and the, you know, the way the series has gone so far has been pretty intense and tedious, and there's been a lot of posturing and a lot of physicality, what do you see tomorrow? What do you see tomorrow? And I'm excited about the possibilities for this Maple Leafs team, because that's what we have to be. We have to be excited and optimistic when the chance for optimism presents itself. Now is the time. Mike, what's your latest at hockeybuzz.com?
The Leafs convo. Right. In my blog. Today is what I always refer to as Podcast Sunday. So you're going to get combo, and more combo.
Yeah, and OG's Converse, thanks so much for all of your participation, all of your support. Now is the time. We've waited all season long to get to this point. Remember all of the preseason content, and then game one and game two, and then it's as you get older, you start comparing what you're doing now with what you did the year prior and the year prior to that. And we were excited in these moments a year ago and 2 years ago and 3 years ago. And then it went kerplunk on us, and some of us were stunned. Some of us weren't stunned. The disappointment languished and labored and just continued on for weeks after the Leafs were eliminated. Here we are again with the Leafs taking another crack at doing something that this group has not been able to do, and that's advance past the first round. up 2-1. Sure, it could be better, but it could be a heck of a lot worse. And from what we saw last night, the Leafs look like they're up to the challenge. But the challenge is going to become greater in game 4, greater in game 5. And I'll tell you, if Tampa's on the ropes and the Leafs have a chance to put them away, Tampa's going to go down swinging, go down fighting. And that's both figuratively and literally. Can the Leafs finally, at last, rise to the challenge? The way they've been built, the way they've been augmented and supported, you can say this is their best ever opportunity to finally do something that this group has not done. And that's put the damn first round opponent away and blast into the second round where all bets are off and all kinds of things can happen that will not only benefit this group, but could benefit the organization and the fan base at large. I'm looking forward to game 4. Mike, I really appreciate your time today. The convo is strong. The OGs are strong. We got 150 people in the chat. We'll have 1,000 plus views for this. Guys, don't forget, I did a post-game after game 3. Watch this content. Go check out the post-game that I did. So many people were a part of that. I was really, really excited to share that time. And one last comment from Mark Stevens. Apparently, he's a Leafs fan. He's liking Nice. Who isn't liking Nyes there, boss? I'm telling you right now, this kid is phenomenal, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next, Mike. I just like the Lightning don't appear to be relenting in their way of playing this game. I think Matthew Nyes is going to continue to improve within this setting. Let's see how far he can go in terms of the ride that the Leafs are taking us all on. Anything else?
The smartest move that Sheldon Keefe did was putting Nyes with two responsible defensive players in O'Reilly and Achari. And if they go on to win this series, that placement might be the key to their victory.
Yeah, and Daily Faceoff, the headline, two men and a baby. Maple Leafs' new third line poses real threat to Lightning.
Good one. I like that.
I love it. Okay, guys, enjoy your day, and we'll see you after game 4. For Mike, I'm Norm. We out.